Welcome, everyone. So glad to have you joining in with us virtually and online here. And we just want to bring the word and the worship to you, where you sit, where you are enjoying hearing this from. So be blessed this morning as we come into the presence of the Lord and worship in this place and gather, as others will be gathering all around the world, to still study and to learn of Him and to glorify His name. Before we get into some worship this morning, I just want to say thanks for those that are just faithfully able to give as the Lord has been providing for you. It's been just awesome to see just the financial support that's been keeping ministry going, because though the building is shut down and there's not a lot of activities here, pastors and staff are ministering and studies are happening online, and Food Bank is just serving people every week out of this building. And that's because of people's generosity, like you, listening to the Lord and following His leading. And so we just say thank you on behalf of the staff and the elders and pastors here. Thanks for following the Lord in that. It's a blessing to be on the ground here, being on the other side of that generosity and seeing the faces of encouragement and hope. That's been a trying time for many. Well, with all of that, we do just pray that you find ways to get connected. I know it's difficult. So again, we have a lot of options online for study groups. So take advantage of that. Reach out to people on phone, FaceTime. Don't be alone. We were not designed for total isolation. And so make sure we take care of our souls. Let's make sure we take care of the life phase that we are in right now. Let's prepare. I mean, there's some anxiety that is starting to come up as we talk about opening our community here and opening the harbor. But let's not let anxiousness take us. Let's not let fear come in and take us where those things go. Let's trust in the Lord and His provisions for us. Let's pray for His protection over us and our community. Yet we need our economy to go. And so we pray for God to show us ways to begin this slow opening process. And so let's be the people of prayer. Let's turn our thoughts, let's turn our hearts to praise to Him. Let's lift His name in this place. Let's glorify Him, for He is so worthy of praise.
Through every battle, through every heartbreak, through every circumstance, I believe that You are my fortress. You are my portion. You are my hiding place. I believe You are the way, the truth, the life. Fears and doubts, they can all come to, because they can't stay long when I'm here with You. It's a new horizon. Redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, and my life began. Oh, your grace, so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. Release from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom, you faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over. And darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. It's your endless. existed and my life began.
Good morning, Avalon Community Church, and thank you, each and every one of you, for joining us this Sunday morning, May 24th. We love you all. We miss you all. We're praying for you all, and we praise God that the time of our reunion, of our joining back together bodily as the body of Christ, is getting closer, a time when we'll join our voices in giving God the praise He deserves. Until then, I want to continue to thank John and the worship team for the amazing job that they're doing in leading us in worship. Thank God for all of you. And thanks also to those serving our God through serving the community of Avalon during this time of need, and especially the food program. Amazing what you're doing. And finally, this Sunday before Memorial Day, we want to especially remember all those who have given the ultimate sacrifice to our country for our freedom. And I ask that we all take a moment of silence to remember those who have paid so dearly for protecting our freedoms. Take a moment. We thank you. I know every family has someone in their family to remember, to give thanks for. So let's also remember to thank any and all veterans today and tomorrow as well for standing in the gap for us. Thank you all, and God bless you all. The Eddystone Lighthouse sits in the English Channel, about 9 miles off the coast of Plymouth, England. It was placed there first in 1698 to warn ships of the dangerous Eddystone Rocks, a reef 9 miles again off of England. Mr. Winstanley, the architect who built that first lighthouse, was so confident of its strength that he had written on the cornerstone, "Blow, O ye winds! Rise, O ye ocean waves! Break forth, ye elements, and try my work!" Well, those were actually foolish words, for less than 5 years later, a violent storm not only destroyed the lighthouse, but also Mr. Winstanley and others who were there repairing it at the time. There was another built, but it lasted again just a short time. But in 1756, John Smeaton, an early leader in civil engineering, rebuilt the lighthouse, and he found a new site and dug down deep into the solid rock. Yes, he was a Christian, and on the cornerstone he wrote these words, "Except the Lord build the house, its builders labor in vain." And since then, it has stood every test, for it was built on the rock. Amen. Well, beloved, we're continuing our series on the Psalms, and we're going to be in Psalm 127, 127 today. So go get your Bibles, let's open them up to 127. And while we're turning there, let's do a bit of review. We said that the Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, 150 chapters, and it's one of the easiest ones to find because Psalm 118 is actually the middle chapter of the Bible. The 150 Psalms were combined into five collections, or separated into five collections or books, as it were. And 127 is in the last, in book five. And while David wrote half of the Psalms, his son Solomon only wrote two of them, Psalm 72 and the one we're going to be looking at today, Psalm 127. And Psalm 127 is written as a psalm of ascent, or is in the grouping of psalms of ascent. The psalms of ascent, or songs of ascent, were tunes that were sung by the Israelites as they were marching up to Jerusalem to celebrate one of the feasts of Israel. There are 15 psalms of ascent, starting with Psalm 120, obviously, to 135, but that puts Psalm 127 in the exact middle of the Psalms of Ascent and the middle of the book of book 5 of the Psalms. These ascension psalms were compiled into groups of three, into triads. The first psalm in each triad is about trouble. The second psalm in each triad is about trust. And the third psalm of every triad is about triumph. So you guessed it, Psalm 127 is a psalm of trust. Solomon was a builder, a great builder. He built and fortified cities all over Israel, as well as, of course, building the temple in Jerusalem, the house of God, the most important physical structure ever constructed on earth, because it's God's home. It's home to God's Shekinah glory. The golden age of Israel started under King David, but it continued under the watch or the kingship of Solomon. And during the 40 years that Solomon ruled as king of Israel, there was peace and unity throughout his vast domain. Under his watch, under his time as Israel's main watchman, at the beginning of his reign, Solomon loved God of Israel. He loved and covenanted with the God of Israel, that he would walk in obedience throughout his administration as the king of Israel. Solomon was promised then wisdom, but was also given riches and honor and long life, as long as he continued in his righteousness before the Lord. As long as he continued in that covenant. And the promise is fulfilled during his life. Solomon became famous for his wisdom, which is what he asked God for. And because of this wise choice, instead of asking for wealth and power, he asked for wisdom. God also gave Solomon great wealth and power, prosperity and security. And under Solomon's reign, under his watch, Israel reached her greatest point as a nation. Honor, wealth, power, respect were hers during the supervision of her greatest king. Knowing and trusting that God was really in charge helped Solomon greatly, helped him to rule rightly, and it also helped him to sleep safely and soundly at night. Solomon also knew about raising children, at least having children. We don't know exactly how many children he did have, but we do know that he married 300 wives and had over 700 concubines. So we think he had a lot of youngin, a lot of princes and princesses, hundreds of them. And during his day, the remnant of the tribes of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites were still in the land of Israel. And many were still practicing, unfortunately, child sacrifice. It was a common pagan practice in those days not to even name a child until their fifth birthday, in case the child died in infancy by some reason or whatever reason, but whatever means, they just didn't want to get attached to them. So Solomon teaches his people and teaches the family, his family, the God-given value of human life. One reason we Christians value children today is due to what Solomon teaches in Psalm 127. So let's go ahead and read. I'll read, you follow along. Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman keeps wake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to retire late, to eat the bread of painful labors, for he gives to his beloved even in his sleep. Behold, children are a gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They'll not be ashamed when they speak with enemies in the gate. And all God's people said, Amen. But we can infer that the psalmist is someone who has been blessed by God, and we know that Solomon was mightily blessed. The principle in this psalm, then, is that all human effort is in vain unless we have the Lord's blessing. All human effort is in vain unless we have the Lord's blessing, unless the Lord is behind it. And this means that we should take active steps to involve him in every aspect of our lives, including these metaphors that he uses: building a house, guarding a city, working long hours, sleeping late into the day, and building a home or raising a family. Solomon says that all of our hard work, all our effort, will amount to nothing unless God is in on the work with us. Repeat the main thought with me. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. That's a great lead line. And taking a closer look at it is even better. The Hebrew word for build is bana. Bana. It's like banana without the last na. Bana. The Hebrew word for house is bet. And bana is the root word from which bet comes from. They're related. So a bet gets bana by the Lord. A bet house gets built by the Lord. The Hebrew word for son is ben, also from bana, the root word. A ben gets bana or built by the Lord. And the Hebrew word for daughter is bat. Yep, also from the word, the root word, bana. A bat gets bana, built by the Lord. So again, we see synonymous parallelism, which we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. Since the Lord is the root builder of all things, there is no sense building anything, creating anything, without him being behind it, without his help. Amen. So let's take a look at some of the key concepts. Work hard and sleep well. All involves God. And good, godly men and women men and women who know God, are known by God, who love God and are loved by God, men and women who are equipped and sent by God. They work hard, but they don't work in vain. Working in vain is working for vanity. Merriam-Webster defines vanity as inflated pride in one's ability, in one's attractiveness. So it would be working for oneself, to boost oneself, and that is vanity. Good, godly men and women work hard, but know who really does the building. And good, godly men and women know that unless the Lord works in it and through it and over their work, they will accomplish nothing truly meaningful, nothing truly lasting. Unless we know that God is the one who also is going to keep an eye on, keep an eye over what he has built, keep watch on what is built, then we watch in vain as well, thinking that it's our work, thinking that it's ours in possession. So let's keep on watching and let's keep on working as if God of heaven and earth works for us, because he does. The God of heaven and earth works with us, watches over us. And knowing that is living the truth. That is living knowing that God, as Isaiah says in Isaiah 64:4, acts for those who wait for him. And also Solomon in verse 2 tells us that when we separate ourselves, when we separate our work from the Lord, it's vain not only to work a long day, but we find it hard to enjoy the fruit of our painful labor. And we find it hard to get a hard-earned sleep as well. But if we stay connected to the Lord, our work is less arduous, and he, God, actually blesses us in our sleep, blesses the sleep of his beloved. That's an amazing truth to realize. God, in his grace, provides us with rejuvenating, refreshing, revitalizing, restorative sleep that benefits our spirit, our soul, our body. And as his children sleep, his gifts, his graces continue to flow from him to us. No fretting and fitful insomnia, no. What we have is blessed rest. And as we abide in him, as we rest in his love, the Lord endows us with his perfect peace, which passes all human understanding, giving us the assurance he is with us even to the end of the age. So in summarizing verses 1 and 2, work at building our houses, which is a metaphor for working at and watching over our lives. Work building our houses needs to be done in partnership with God. When it is our work, we'll be benefited, we'll be blessed. When it is our sleep, we'll be restful, we'll be restorative, without worry, peacefully. Peacefully, because we know we're placing ourselves in God's hands. And my goodness, that sounds just like what Paul writes to us in the New Testament, what he writes to those in Colossae, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord, and not for men. Good, godly men and women loved by God, work hard to do their best for God, who's doing his best for us. In verses 3 through 5, he switches from building a house to building a home, essentially. It's Solomon's metaphor for raising a family. From raising possibly hundreds of his own children, Solomon knew that all his efforts were worthless. They were in vain unless the Lord is involved in the raising of these children. So, based on what is learned in the first half, the second half of this psalm, Solomon gives direction on how to build a great family. And first he says, work as if it all depends on us. Just like in building our houses, building our homes, building our families takes our focus. It takes all of our energy. We should not expect the school system to do it. Instead, we should partner with our schools to teach our children the three R's, reading, writing, and arithmetic, to teach them how to be socially involved. We don't outsource our responsibility. We're involved fully with the raising of our families. And in the same way, beloved, we should not expect the church to do all the spiritual formation of our children or of ourselves, because they can't. We need a partnership with the church. When church is open, and soon we pray it will be, not only bring your children, bring yourselves. But when you bring your children, and at Sunday school they give them handouts, take those pages home throughout the week to reinforce those biblical concepts that they learned on Sunday. Work with us in a partnership. So yes, we have to work as if it all depends on us to raise our family. But we also pray, number two, as if it all depends on God. Because why? Because it does. Unless the Lord builds our homes, builds our families, our work will be in vain. Partnership with God. Partnership with the Lord, first and foremost. How many of you have played Simon Says? Simon Says, raise your right hand if you've played Simon Says. All right, I can't tell. Well, we all need to play what I call Solomon Says, all right? Solomon Says, because Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived on earth. So yeah, we should listen to what he has to say. And as a student of history, Solomon himself learned from great men of the past. For instance, he learned from Abraham. Remember, Abraham and Sarah couldn't have children. So Sarah gives Abraham her maid Hagar to have children with. And Hagar becomes the father, Solomon becomes the father of them, the Islamic nations, through Hagar, who've been at war now with the Jews for what, the last 1,400 plus years? That didn't work out so well, did it? Should have listened to God. Solomon says, trust in God as a partner. What about Jacob? He learned from Jacob, who tried to build his house by tricking his brother Esau into giving him his birthright. Well, Jacob spent the next 20 years of his life being indentured to his uncle Laban, who tricked him as he had tricked his brother. It didn't work out so well either. Solomon says, trust in God as a partner. Solomon learned from Joseph, whose brothers sold him as a slave to some slave traders going by in the desert. They went to Egypt, or he sold Solomon to some Egyptians, and there Solomon did trust God to build his house. And he became a wealthy, powerful man there in Egypt. It worked for him. So Solomon says, trust in God as a partner. What about Joshua? After Moses died, Joshua was the one who, with the Israelites, conquered the land for Israel, the promised land. He won 30 battles. He only lost one battle. And the one battle he lost was when one of the family of the Israelites, one of the Israelites didn't trust God. Achan didn't trust God. He took matters into his own hands. That's vanity again. And what happened? Yes, they lost that battle. Joshua learned, and so did Solomon. Solomon says, trust in God as a partner and make sure everyone in the family understands that, abides by that rule, by that truth. And of course, from his father David, Solomon knew that his father David had taken Bathsheba, another man's wife, and the child born to him through Bathsheba died at birth. After that, David trusted God to build his house. So Solomon says, trust in God as a partner. So what's the moral of this game of Solomon Says? Well, build on your own, and you're on your own. Build under God, and you're under God's blessings. If you build on your own, yes, you're on your own. If you build for yourself, you're by yourself. If you build under God, with God's blessings, you are under his blessings. Jesus essentially says the same thing in John chapter 15, where he talks about being divine and we are the branches. He says in John 15, verse 5, remain in me. Why? He says, because apart from me, you can do nothing. And that is so true. Solomon says, unless the Lord builds the house, unless the Lord builds our family, we're toast. If the Lord God isn't building the home, forget it. So, number one, work as if it all depends on us. Number two, pray as if it all depends on God, because it does. And lastly, number three, live as if God is the most important person in the world. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto us, right? Will be given to us. Think about it from Solomon's perspective, from living in Solomon's time. In the midst of a world where children were sacrificed to the rain gods, to the mountain gods, to the gods of fertility, Solomon says in verse 3, children are a gift of the Lord. They are the fruit of the womb is a reward from God. Again, Hebrew parallelism in poetry. These two lines say the same thing. Children are God's gift to us, so we should treat them as such. Amen. In verses 4 and 5, Solomon compares kids to arrows. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are children of one's youth. Okay, well, here Solomon trades a metaphor for a simile. So, how are children like arrows? Well, let's look at three possible ways. Number one, arrows need to be shaped. They need to be trued to be used rightly. Arrows are sticks. I mean, they have to be straightened. They have to be formed and shaped and persuaded to be straight, created to be straight. A few years back, Leadership Network did a study to discover what caused some kids to grow up to love God while others grew up having nothing to do with him. And they discovered that a majority of children who grew up to love God had four things in common. Number one, their parents had genuine faith. They had a faith that allowed them to pray regularly, read the Bible regularly, attend church regularly. So their children saw them doing these things. Secondly, the parents demonstrated their faith by giving. They tithed to the church, showing and teaching, tithing in action. They actually gave allowance, many of them did, allowance to the children so the children could practice giving 10% back to Jesus. Thirdly, the parents served in their local churches. They got involved in ministry, and when it was appropriate, they let the children serve with them in ministry. And lastly, their parents took them on cross-cultural mission trips, and they encouraged them to do the same thing as they grew. Living our faith in front of our children, exposing our children to high-commitment Christianity, shapes their faith for a lifetime. The second way children are like arrows is arrows must be aimed. God does have a purpose for every child who's born, which means that one of a parent's most important jobs is to help their children discover what they were born for. All of us were born to participate with building God's kingdom. And that's why Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God is building his kingdom, and he wants to involve our children in building it, our families in building it. We can help best by aiming our children's character, by teaching them how to forgive and ask for forgiveness, how to own up to their own mistakes, how to serve hard, play hard, pray hard, and give abundantly, and know it's God behind all of it. Thirdly, arrows are better in bunches. Verse 5 says, how blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gates. According to God, the more children, the merrier. So Solomon must have been a merry man. He says, have lots of kids. And a generation ago, family planners were promoting zero population growth, limiting the size of families for the sake of earth stewardship. But now we know that much of Europe and much of Asia are in severe trouble because the size of their families have fallen below sustainable levels, causing what's known as demographic winter, which may cause entire ethnic groups, entire nations to disappear. and it might be too late to fix. Generally, if we come from large families, we have large families. Not all the time, but it's easier, I think, to mentally manage. We've had preparation. We've been through it. But if we're not used to large families, or if our marriage is a bit strained, then yes, of course, have less kids. And if any of us don't have children or can't have children of our own, adoption is great. Adoption is a great way that will allow both the sharing of the God-given blessing that children are and the God-given blessing to a child in need of parents that are godly. Solomon says, when we're young, children will bring us joy. When we're old, they will speak up for us and be an inheritance to us. So blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. Amen. So parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, I want to lead us all in a prayer for the kids under our influence. So close your eyes with me and repeat after me, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for the children in my life, for they are precious to me, as I know that they are precious to you. Help me to work hard in raising them, and help me to live my life well in front of them. But most of all, help me to realize that your influence in their lives is the most important work of all. So I pray, Lord, raise my children, form my children, aim my children, and let them be used for good. And bless my house, Lord. Build my home, Lord. And most of all, help it be built around you. Now, listen to me for a minute before we finish this prayer. Some of us have been trying to build our houses and raise our families without God at the center of our lives. And the Bible said God wants to be the center of our life and wants to be the center of our family as well, but that he waits for us to ask him in. Because we've done things that are outside his will, we need to admit our sins and invite him in. So for some of us, the next part, the closing part of our prayer, is the most important part of this morning. Please pray this with me out loud. Lord Jesus, I want you in my life today and every day. I admit I have sinned. I have fallen short. Forgive me. Save me. Lead me. Use me. I give you my life, and I take yours for mine. In the precious name, your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Well, thank you so much for stopping by this morning, even if it's only to listen. We appreciate your being here to hear. And have a blessed day. Have a blessed week. And make sure you thank a veteran for helping to protect all of our freedoms, especially the freedom to worship our great God. Amen. John, lead us in response.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now.
We are your church. We need your power in
we seek your kingdom. To waste our lives for your joy and pride. church. We are the hope on earth. Build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the atmosphere. Build your kingdom, build your kingdom here. Let the darkness fear. Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Set your church on fire. Win this nation back. Change the
Thanks again for just joining us this morning in a time of worship and the Word. May God be very present in your life today and this week, to continue to trust in Him, look for His provisions, spread the love of Christ, share the hope we have with the world that so desperately needs it right now. God bless you guys. Have a great day.